Hey folks, Luke here. I just want to quickly jump in and apologize for the technical difficulties we experienced in this episode, but I hope you really enjoy. Cheers. Right, Mr. Buffy.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Wild Eye Podcast. It's been a long time.
I think it could be one of my first.
Really, eh?
To be honest.
So you and Jerry never sat down to chat?
No, I think we did once or twice, but...
So long ago.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm almost 60 now, so to remember what happened 14 years ago is a little bit difficult for me. Exactly. I can't remember what happened last week.
Well, you say you're almost 60. It's your birthday where next week?
The 22nd of June.
So happy birthday.
My birthday party is on the 20th of June.
So. Looking very forward to it.
Yeah. Going to be a guest.
Right, folks, for those of you that don't know, I'm sitting here with Mr. Jono Buffy. And Jono is one of the three founders of Wild Eye and one of the three directors of Wild Eye, shareholders and so forth. So it's a pleasure to have you sitting and telling us the story.
Thank you. I hope I can add value. Yeah. I hope it's interesting.
It will be. So folks, for those of you that are listening, you'll know that Wild Eye is intimately involved with the Mara Triangle. We've been leading photographic safaris and regular safaris and hosting people in the Mara at what we used to call the Wild Eye Mara Camp for 12 years.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a cool topic is to get Jono in here today. And we've had to, just due to us being super busy, we've had to push this thing back 3, 4, 5 days now, but we're finally getting it. So we just decided, let's go sit down and get this thing out there.
Great.
So Jono, really, I just want to hear from you. And I think a lot of people would really love to hear the story of maybe briefly how Wild Eye started, yourself, Jerry and AB got together. And then from there, how did you find yourselves in the Mara one day?
Okay, let me go back to about 2007. I sold my company to a big multinational. Great deal. They seemed like great guys. When I joined and started there for 3.5 years, I was absolutely miserable. Couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand the culture. And so, I've got a share in a lodge in Madikwe called Nkuru Lodge. We run our Wild Eye photo safaris out of Nkuru Lodge, yeah, and I'm one of the shareholders. And Jerry and his wife Adele were the management couple. I think they started in 2009, and they started managing the lodge. So Jerry acted as the guide as well. I'd sit and have late night conversations with Jerry around the fire, telling him how miserable I was. I was miserable during the day, taking phone calls nonstop on my weeks there with my family. Mm-hmm. So it was just a really unsettling time not a great time of my life. I exited there in 2011, in the March 2011, left. And during the time that I would have those late night conversations around the fire with Jerry, normally with a nice bottle of wine, mm-hmm. I would always ask the regular question a guide gets asked is, what about life after guiding?
Yeah.
So Jerry said, well, he would like to run wildlife photographic safaris, and he'd like to start a company offering that. He picked up in the industry, there was a big gap for a operator that was more client centric, and clients came first and not about the guides or the
more humble.
More humble and not about the guides getting their own shots, but helping clients with their camera settings and coaching them so they could get a great shot.
And
so,
was the name always, when Jerry and you were first sitting around that fire, was the name Jerry first came up with, or you first came up with, what was it, Wild Eye?
No, we didn't have a name.
Yeah,
he had a concept. I just listened to his concept, and literally the day I left my corporate job, I phoned Jerry. And I said to him, what about starting that company? I'll provide some working capital.
Yeah.
And you just got to resign and we start it. And he said, I'm in. Let's start it.
I can imagine the other shareholders of Nkuru Lodge must have been a bit upset.
They weren't happy with me, but
coach their manager.
Yeah. Jerry promptly resigned, and that was, I think, in the March.
Wow.
And I mentioned to Jerry about Andrew. And
so you knew Andrew before Jerry?
I'd met Andrew at the lodge once or twice because he did some relief guiding at the lodge. So I'd met him there. He didn't actually guide me, but I'd met him there and had a chat to him. Seemed like a great guy.
Yeah.
very together. And I said to Jerry, what about bringing Andrew in? Because he had a FIT business called Moyo Otenga.
For people that are listening, FIT means fully independent traveler.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's it. And he was organizing trips for guests, and he was doing quite a few transfers between Joburg and Modikwe. He cut his teeth in Modikwe, working there and guiding there.
Yeah.
So there was a natural progression that he should come along as well. So I said, well, the three of us start. We split it. I'll take 40%. You guys take 20 each. We then settled on split it down three ways and 33.3 or whatever each of us.
Easier that way.
So we started the company. We didn't have a name. We had an idea. We had a concept.
Yeah.
We
and a landline.
Hey? And a landline and an office and social media.
Yeah.
That's how we started.
I remember, you know, I've obviously been with Wilder now, I think, for sure, going on almost 6 years. Mm. 5 years, certainly. I can't remember now, but I remember you in the early days. I remember chatting to you and you in the early days being quite apprehensive about the whole social media thing, and you wanted to go traditional marketing and print and this and that, and sort of AB or Andrew and Jerry sort of
I was on Facebook and I used to post photographs of my kids' birthday parties and various functions I went to.
It's not a selling tool.
I didn't understand the whole concept of selling on social media. Jerry, and I should have mentioned before, but Jerry had a company that was doing photographic tuition and workshops whilst he was still at Nkuru at the lodge, and he would do conduct workshops and what have you during his leaf cycles.
Okay.
So he already had a company called Photo Africa.
Okay.
So important part of the story going into the Mara.
Yeah.
But let me finish off. So we started Wild Eye in the April 2011. We didn't have a name. We had an idea, and off we went. And we spoke to a lady that did some advertising for me and marketing for me when I was in corporate. And her and her team came up with the name Wild Eye. We came up with all sorts of names that were absolute garbage, but she came up with Wild Eye, and
it just
hit us between the eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we loved it straight, and we even more loved the tagline she came up with, change the way you see the world.
So that tagline's been around since then. I thought
since the beginning.
I thought that was a bit more recent.
No, it's been.
And I thought that one of the three of you came up with the word Wild Eye.
I should
cheeky buggers.
I could bullshit you, so I didn't, but I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
So there, Wild Eye was born, and we went to Modikwe for Jerry didn't have guests for a couple of days, so Andrew, myself, and Jerry went to Modikwe. We strategized on Jerry's patio. I was more interested in going on game drives. I wasn't interested in strategy.
As always, yeah.
I'd left an industry that I'd been in for 23 years, and I just wanted a sabbatical. So what do you do in a sabbatical? You start a business.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Anyway, the phone never rang. Social media started, and these guys swore blind that this is gonna work. We didn't have any bookings, more capital funding, more capital outlay, more shoving money into the company.
More stress, worries.
And I thought, no, we've got to get into magazines and do advertising in magazines and stuff like that.
Which is still the thing that we think
this
about
is
to,
bullshit.
To this day, right?
Yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And I literally woke up the one morning and I said to myself, I'm going into the office, I'm going to tell these guys this social media stops now, we're going to change marketing tech. And literally, as I walked through the door, Andrew said, hey, I've got great news. Via Twitter, I just got a 900,000 Rand order.
And that was 12, 14 years ago, right?
12. So it shut me up.
Yeah.
My speech to them suddenly, I said, that's great news. Well done. And so I bought into the social media bandwagon. Yeah. So.
And now you've got your own quite formidable Instagram page and photography.
Yeah, I have asked guides along the way. And previous directors and shareholders to help boost my name, so I am at a little bit of help.
Yeah,
but
we all
hopefully I get away. I get by with my photography, and it's pleasing on the eye sometimes.
Oh, it definitely is. I use a lot of your photography in a lot of our marketing.
Thank you.
So keep it coming.
Very much. Yeah.
So
going back to Wild Eye, back to the Mara.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reverse back to 2020. 2010.
Yeah.
Jerry's company, Photo Africa, he had organized, him and Andrew were doing a JV, and they were organizing a trip to the Masai Mara to see the migration. And I was in awe of what I saw on documentaries and what have you.
Yeah.
We were at the lodge, my wife and I, and he said, he sat down, and after probably too many gins, he said, why did you guys join us in the Mara next September?
So there was two seats sold already, huh?
Without even taking a breath, I said, we're in. So we said, sign us up. When do you need a deposit? And we were in, signed up, us, my wife and I, to go to the Mara, and that would have been September 2011. And obviously we had then started Wild Eye in the April,
yeah.
But we still agreed to run the trip under Photo Africa. So there we were, off we went to the Mara. Jerry and Andrew had teamed up with a ground handler there.
Okay.
To run the camp, and all I knew, we were going to be staying in a camp in the banks of the Mara River. I knew nothing more. We got there. The camp was, the tents were terrible.
How much did you pay for that safari, by the way?
God, I can't remember. Maybe 20, 30 grand each.
30,000 rand. Yeah. So back then, probably in the region of about $1,500.
When we started Wild Eye, the rand to the dollar was 6.50. Now it's at 16.50.
So just to see how the industry's progressed.
Yeah. So at the moment, not a lot of South Africans travel the Mara at $8,000 trips.
So it was
a lot more affordable then from a South African perspective. We arrived at this camp. As I said, the tents were terrible. They picked us up in vehicles at the Sekenani gate. The vehicles were so shit and uncomfortable. The food was indescribably bad. On the first night, I'll have a glass of wine. They brought out box wine.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so
nothing like a bupsack to get you.
Yeah, like, yeah. So this box wine, and we said, I called Jerry and Andrew aside. I said, guys, you can't be serving guests box wine.
Yeah.
This is So he made a plan, and they went and got to they went up to Serena, the ground handlers, and bought wine.
For people that are listening, if you've ever been to Inkoshuwi or the Wild Eye Mara camp, the wines that are in camp at the moment are largely responsible. John is largely responsible for the quality of those wines and the abundance of them. So you have him to
think. Anything in a camp? Good food and good wine.
Yeah.
And then you 60% of the battle today.
Yeah, not animals, just
a comfortable bed, good food, good wine, cold beer, and you're away.
And you're good.
You're good. Yeah, so we got to this campsite and on the banks of the Mara River. But the experience of being there and the site was unbelievable. It was at Kaboko camp, the old Kaboko camp, which was
just north of
bit north of where our camp is now.
Yeah.
So we obviously went around the Mara for a week, couldn't believe what we were seeing. Mm. I mean, the amount of animals, amount of sightings, amount of predators, huge herds of wildebeest.
The ease of which you can find
river. Things. We had about six river crossings.
Wow. And you were hooked, eh?
Yeah.
Because I know there's river crossings, yourself and Engen, and there's a couple of you guys that are just hooked on the crossing. Yeah. Doesn't matter how many you see.
No.
Still want another one.
Myself and Engen still in the vehicle. We don't go back for lunch. If there's wildebeest anywhere near the river, we stay we stay out.
Absolutely, yeah.
So where was I? Yeah, so the actual experience blew our mind. Yeah. The staff then were largely the staff that we had now. They worked for the ground handler.
Yeah.
Dixon and Francis were.
Oh, so Dixon was there, hey?
Front of house. Now, Dixon, for those that have met Dixon, Dixon's the most friendly, got a great sense of humor, always smiling, always laughing, great telling stories.
Unless you love
When we were there,
yeah.
He was like the sour, surly,
stoic.
Didn't hardly say anything. Okay, he battled to speak English in those days, but he didn't have a smile on his face. The ground handler had warned them, the guy that owned the ground handling team had warned that the South Africans were coming and South Africans are racist. So they're going to beat you, kick you. I mean, a load of shit that came out of his mouth. Whatever. So going back, the experience blew my mind and blew our minds, Jerry and myself, and we were just left shaking our heads most of the time.
Yeah. Can you remember a star sighting other than your six Was it
I got
predator?
Cheetah with cubs?
Yeah.
Small cubs on a Dumite Hound.
I remember sharing a sighting with you a few years ago as well when that cheetah race had four or five cubs.
Yeah.
And it was just, that was such a wonderful few weeks of Mara history there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
But there were lions all over the show. Yeah. I think at one stage we went up and we drove up towards the swamps and we saw a lion in a tree. 15 meters away, there was a leopard in a tree.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where does this happen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a Mara for you.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And so, so I looked at this and I called Jerry and Andrea aside. And I'd spoken to the ground handler. I said, what do you pay for the site? And he gave me a figure. I think it was 20,000 shillings, which was, I don't know, what's about.
R4.50.
Yeah, for nothing. I think the rand to the shilling was at 10. It's now at 7.50. So both currencies have worked against us over the years.
Of course.
And I thought, no, man. So I said to Jerry and Andrew, we dial this up, we get proper tents, great vehicles, and we start running trips to the Mara, it'll be an absolute winner. Because if we can't beat what we have been accustomed to and what has been served up to us on this trip, then there's something wrong.
With
your guys' lodge experience, we can dial this up and we will have an absolute winner.
Yeah.
So we're going to run trips to the Mara next year. So their eyes went pretty wide and said, are you serious?
Yeah.
So I'm deadly serious. Went back to Joburg after the trip, started investigated tents, bought a whole lot of tents, shipped them up to Kenya. We bought secondhand vehicles from, I think it was Kurundani, secondhand vehicles they were selling. We refurbed them. And so we had our vehicles, we had our tents, and off we were.
And back then it was also 10 guest tents, eh? Or were you running
Smaller? we had 10 guest tents.
So you guys tried to go and go to the big operation?
Yeah, we went to the big operation. Yeah. We went all in, 10 guest tents, a dining tent, a media tent. And I think that was it in those days. Obviously, the kitchen and the staff all had tents. So this whole idea was born, and we started running trips. I think the first year we took about 30 people, so we had like maybe 4 weeks in the Mara.
Yeah, that's not bad for your first year, huh?
Yeah,
really not bad.
So it wasn't bad. So we had
success straight away.
Yeah. So I mean, I know on our height of our Mara safaris, we've had more like 180 guests.
Yeah.
Time gone by, so not at the height, but our record is about 185 guests, I think it is. So from measly beginnings of 30 guests to
to start off year one with 30 guests over 4 weeks or three weeks or whatever it was it's profound. It's very good. Social media
And one of the groups were mates of mine, so I'd organized mates of mine, and we had a dinner party one night. I said, guys, I want to take you to the Mara. They also had too much to drink. It's a common theme. Too much to drink. And they said, let's all come to the Mara. So they booked up. So it was an exclusive use. I was guiding it. In those days, I used to guide the Mara weeks. There was one downside, though, a big downside. You can only book those campsites and be in those campsites for 2 weeks. Okay. So there were four campsites up the river. There was Kaboko down south. There was just a little bit further north was Alaro, and then
the one by Serena.
Then past Serena, going up towards the north, there was Dovo, and then Darisha camp. So there were four of these private campsites. Yeah. So you could only book these campsites for 2 weeks, and then be in the campsite for 2 weeks. Then you had to move.
Yeah.
So it was there the conservancy rule of allowing other people to book the campsite as well, and not an operator.
So you were running 10 guest tents, but there could have been other people, self-drive people, camping?
We had exclusive use of the site,
At least, that's quite nice.
But the problem we had was we would have these safaris, so we always did 6-night, 7-day safaris. In those days, the guests used to arrive at 10 in the morning, and leave at four in the afternoon, day seven. And if we had to move camp, we had to pack up this whole camp from 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the Saturday afternoon, and have it up by lunchtime on the Sunday to get the new guests in.
And I mean, it's just a lot of work.
Oh, it's a lot of work. So they used to work through the night. We'd hired a truck for the season, and we'd pack up all the stuff. The staff would pack their stuff. We'd move the kitchen first. Then we'd move all the guest tents. And we'd had to move it downriver, set it up. And I mean, the stress of that as a guide was unbelievable.
I can imagine. So between those four camps, which one was your favorite? Was it always Kiboko, always the south where we sort of are now?
I think that my favorite was probably as a campsite with the big trees and everything was Kiboko.
Okay.
It wasn't as big, so that the tents were a little bit more squashed and a little bit closer together than something like Derisha, which was wide open and you could have quite a fair distance between the tents.
Okay.
So they were all great camps. So they were all on the river. I mean, literally.
Yeah. Waking up on the banks of the Mile.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. No. Yeah. And the hippos and the cacophony of sounds and at night was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Still like that.
And so where was I? So we'd have to move camp, and I can remember being in camp one night, and we were moving camps. I was there for 2 weeks, and we had to move camp that night. And I had a hard week the week before. I was tired, I was irritable.
Yeah.
And I watched these guys starting this, and I said, no, these guys have got it all wrong. Let me go and sort this. This is how we're going to work it. So I go to Dixon and Tenke. I said, no, you guys got it wrong. Pack one tent.
Okay.
I told giving them all these instructions. The next minute, Tenke taps me on the shoulders, and he's got a cold beer and my box of smoke. And he says, go and sit over there. We've got this under control.
So classic Tenke. Yeah.
He said, bugger off and get out of our hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so year two, we had about 40, 50 guests. And so we went on. But the problem was this moving camp all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had an inside track that, say, by year three, we were bringing in most of the revenue in park fees and camping fees out of all the camping operators that operated in the Mara Triangle. So,
wow.
So we were, and in a short space of time, were the biggest camping operator in the Mara Triangle. But this moving camp was no good. We used to have breakages, and whether it be food and dry goods and
even the
bags
tents,
of rice
the tents
and bags of flour.
Yeah.
And the stuff and breaking, glasses breaking and plates breaking and so many breakages during a move. So I would go, and then I met the CEO of the Mara Conservancy, Brian Heath.
So he's been the CEO.
Yeah, he'd been the CEO from day dot when the Mara Conservancy was established. Yeah, okay. So back in the early 1990s, I think.
Wow.
Was.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's
seen that place go through all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would go to him and say, Brian, you know, we've got to have our own site. This moving. He said, no, you got to move. So the next year I will go and see him again. Brian, please, there's got to be a site along this river.
Yeah.
No, we only got those designated sites. I did like presentations. I'd do like with graphs and occupancies and how much we were spending in park fees and what we were bringing to the park. And we started to get a great relationship with the rangers and people that worked underneath Brian. We had a great relationship with them. So I was trying to motivate this anyway I could every single year. In fact, the one year I went up there and I said to Isaac, who was our partner, and I'll go back to our Wild Eye East Africa, was born in those days, was our partner in Wild Eye East Africa, Brian said to one of his in Swahili, and I didn't understand Swahili, but Isaac told me what he says. He says, tell them I don't want to see them. So he kicked us out. I had the begging bowl out again. Anyway, I forgot to mention one quite important part. When we started we set up a company in Kenya. So we Wild Eye East Africa, and we set up the company, and we had various shareholders, myself, Andrew, Jerry, and we had a partner, Isaac, and a guy from the UK. That whole relationship didn't last too long. And there was issues, so we got rid of Isaac and Paul. And we then took over the whole operation. And Billy, who runs our operation there now, was an intern in those days.
Yeah.
And the day Isaac left, I phoned Billy, and I was in Kenya. There were some issues, and I was in Kenya. And I went back and said, okay, here's Isaac's now no longer. Guess what, Billy?
Yeah.
You're running the show.
New Isaac. So, and how old was Billy then?
I don't know. He must have been 23.
Yeah, a baby.
Yeah,
that's baby. Just and
yeah, but Billy had this true, like this real enthusiasm, and I loved his attitude and the way he used to operate. Yeah. Well, I mean, Billy knows a guy, and he still knows a guy.
I was about to say,
you've got to get something sorted in Kenya. Billy's your guy.
Billy knows a guy.
Yeah, yeah. Billy knows a guy. So that's that taking it back a bit. So we would go and see Brian anyway. Cut a long story short. When we got to a stage where we were running 3 months in the Mara.
Wow.
So during migration, so we would have 12 weeks of 10 guests, 12 guests, sorry,
yeah.
6 nights, 7 days. Every single week we used to fall, and we used to have we try to add to the camp and make it a little bit, but the more we added to it, more comfortable, the more we added to it, there was more stuff the guys used to have to move.
Yeah.
So it got to a stage when we would get to camp with a new set of guests and the camp wasn't anywhere near set up.
Yeah.
And so it was like quite embarrassing. You arrive in this camp and there's no tents up.
Yeah.
So Dixon, where are the tents? No, don't worry. We'll be fine. Go and sit by the fire, have a drink.
Yeah. Give it 20 minutes.
Yeah, give us 20 minutes. Sit around the fire with drinks till about 10 o'clock at night. Okay, the tents are ready. Yeah, I'm going to have a shower. It was really admin and kept on going. And I'll never forget, it was a September in 2017. I got a call from David Arosa. I was leading a group in camp, and he said, what are you?
Okay, sorry, carry on.
I said, what are you doing this afternoon?
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'm going on safari with guests. He said, no, you're not. We're coming to see you, myself and this whole entourage.
Yeah.
We're coming to see you. We've got something to show you. So I had this inkling that hopefully they've got a site.
Yeah.
And because they'd shown me other sites, potential sites, but there was always something wrong with them. They weren't in the right position.
Yeah.
They were a long way from the crossing points. And they weren't, it wasn't a definite that we would get those sites.
Yeah.
It still had to run through Brian.
Yeah.
But in this instance, it had gone through Brian, and Brian said, why don't you offer them that site? And I'll give you the reason now. So.
Yeah. Continue.
I said to the guest, sorry, I'm going to have to skip the afternoon drive. That's fine. And they came to pick me up in their Jeep. And off I went down the river. We were at Kaboka camp, so we weren't far from where our campsite is now. They took me and they said, okay, let's get off. They had armed guards there because it was
wild bush, right?
Wild bush, yeah. So we walked through this site and they said, we were walking through, and I remember the tree where the dining room is now.
Yeah.
There was a leopard in that tree. And this leopard saw us coming, ran down, growled and ran off. So it was a sign, and they said, do you want the site? And I said, are you joking?
Yeah.
Are you you asked me if I want the site.
Yeah.
You better believe I want this site.
Of course
I said, well, it's now yours. So you can now, you can have set up a seasonal camp.
Yeah.
And you can have it
from
July to November.
Yeah.
During the migration. And
persistence pays, huh?
Yeah. No, it was.
Yeah.
So I literally shed a tear.
I can imagine. Then you had a Tusker.
Yeah, I had quite a few Tuskers. Yeah, yeah.
And what year was that now?
That was 2017.
And then 2018 was the first
2018
year.
Was the first.
Yeah.
So we went back. We had a whole lot of marketing to do because we were running like 3 months of migration.
Yeah.
Now we had these shoulder months to try and fill as
well. Yeah, because now you had a whole bunch of bed nights.
We had 5 months that we needed to fill, not just the 3 months.
Wow.
So, you know, having our own site, we could add, and we put permanent toilets, flush toilets in.
Mm.
We put extensions on the tents that we had.
The porcelain toilets were a year one, 2018.
2018.
They were
flush toilets,
Because I only started with Wilder in 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, so, before we had porta potties and and we refused to do the long drop because I'd experienced the camps with long drops, and those things, after 3 days, they smell too high.
Yeah.
So you refuse to
leave the flies get attracted.
Long drops.
Yeah.
We then added to the camp. We put the lounge, we got the lounge and the bar. And so we were able to do a whole lot of cool things with the camp. And we've continued to do new things from 2018, 2019, 2020. Obviously, that 2020 was COVID.
Yeah.
And then there we were in our own camp.
Yeah.
So that's, so it was used to be the still the Wild Eye Mara camp.
Mm. When did the name Nkashui come into it?
I wanted to name the camp. You know, I had a thought, and
so you had this idea to name the camp.
No, and I was just thought the term life came into, you know, obviously the new camp gave Wild Eye new impetus and value and
vitality.
And it's just everything about it was the life and the life around the camp, the animals around camp, and all that sort of thing. And I asked Dixon, I wanted to make it a Ma name, not a Swahili name.
Yeah.
Ma, for those that you don't know, is the mother tongue of the Maasai people. And he said it's called Nkashui. And he didn't know the spelling though.
Yeah.
So we spelled it wrong in the beginning, which was I-N instead of E-N.
Okay.
And I was corrected by one of the guys in the Mara consultancy.
Yeah, what does this mean?
Yeah. So he said, no, this is how you spell it. Anyway, cut a long story short, there we were, and we started Nkashui camp.
Because when I first started with Wild, I was obviously a guide. I came in as a guide. And the name Nkashui wasn't so prevalent. Was, we've always just Wild Eye Mara Camp, Wild Eye Mara Camp. And over the last sort of 3 years or so, we've sort of started pushing it more into, you know, Nkashui and really trying to put that name out there.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful name. It really is, as far as names for lodges go.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked for places like Tanda Tula, which is also a lovely quiet, you know.
Yeah.
So to know, and also to get a real Ma name or a Maasai name for the camp, I think was a very clever or a proper, it was a good thought of yours to do that. Because I think a lot of people default to the Swahili and so forth.
But
it's a wonderful name.
Yeah.
So obviously now it's no longer the Wild Eye Mara camp. Mm-hmm. It's now solidly
Nkashui
Safari Camp.
Yeah.
So
give
us a little bit, for people that are listening, you probably, you know, we're obviously Nkashui Safari Camp is taking its bold new step into the future as a completely separate camp to Wild Eye, still with various, with common shareholders and things like that, but more of an FIT, if you remember, a fully independent traveler style camp. That Wild Eye then plugs into to use for photographing safaris.
I'm glad you didn't ask me what FIT is.
Yeah. You just said it for the last 10 years. Yeah. Not too sure.
I just know it's FIT. So we were running the camp and it was strictly photographic guests. And we did it so very successfully. When I say strictly photographic guests, there were times where we had experiential people in campus, but predominantly it was photographic.
It was marketed as a photographic.
Yeah, marketed as photographic safaris.
Yeah.
We then got a lease for the camp. The whole, everybody, because that site was so magnificent and the positioning and the location, and I've just got to say to everyone, it is, and the CEO of the Mara Conservancy confirmed this. He said to me one day, Jono, you've got the best site in the whole of the Maasai Mara.
And don't we know it?
And it is literally the best site, the best location in the whole of the Maasai Mara.
Oh, we love it.
So, but you can imagine how everyone and his mate wants the site, every camp operator.
Yeah.
So they operators used to go to Brian, give him hell. Why Wild Eye? Why do you give them the site? And you explain, well, that they were operators that were bringing the most amount of guests, so we thought that they could bring us the most amount of income by having an established site. So it was not payback, but it was in recognition of the effort we had made over the years and the people we had bought. So but he got so the hell, and he said one day it's got to go out for tender. So the camp went out for tender. That was nerve-wracking. We managed to win the tender and were awarded effectively what's a 10-year lease.
I remember that time. It was I remember watching you pacing up and down outside our old office on the balcony on the phone, waiting for the last documents. It was a very stressful time. And all of us in Wild Eye in the office were, you know, very optimistic. We didn't really, no one had a negative thought that we weren't going to win this thing, but it was still a stressful situation. And well done for the work that you did.
Well, there was a lot of input from
so many
Lara, Andrew,
yeah,
And the rest of the team put it, but I think the relationship that I'd built with the Mara Conservancy did help a lot, and I'm not going to go to the ins and outs of how it helped, but it did help. And literally the lease, it was the cost of leasing that land for a season that came was the a key determinator of who would be awarded that site. Mm-hmm. So we upped our offer, but I said to Brian on the phone, I said, Brian, because it was a 5-year lease. So I said, Brian, I can up the offer to what it is now, but I want to make a counter offer that it's a 10-year lease. Mm. So he said, you'll run it past the board. You had a board meeting that day. He phoned me back that day and said, the board had said fine. So so it was, but
it was nice. Still, there's got a quick closing on a circle on that.
But in the lease, there's still, targets we've got to make for occupancy. So we had a strategy session 2 years ago, I think, and we thought that we're too reliant on the photographic market. And it's really a small segment of the Safari Goes market. And we thought, we've got such a great site, why don't we open it up and open up to the FIT market and get people that, the Mara, I think, had 800,000 visitors a year or something like that.
Something astronomical.
So if we can't get a piece of the action, we needed to do 1,200 bed nights in the lease. And that's, if I can't remember what the total is, but 1,200 bed nights, we were doing 1,200 at our peak. So we didn't think it was a hard, particularly bringing this other segment of the market into the camp. But one of the strategies we decided was that, obviously Wild Eye, we also, part of our business, we also do FIT and we do custom travel and stuff like that. So we would be competing with other agents that we wanted to bring people to this camp.
Yes.
So we thought from a strategy point of view, that we were concerned that these agents thought they would be competing with Wild Eye.
Yeah.
And that's why we decided we're going to give it a new name, a new logo, a new identity on its own website. So we called it, we decided to call it Inkashree Safari Camp. Yeah. So the
good and proper.
The tie-in with Wild Eye wasn't as evident. There's still a lot of operators that know it was previously the Wild Eye Mara Camp. But then I think that gives it some credibility. And
absolutely. Yeah, having spoken to a few people within the industry, it definitely gives the camp some credibility. It's been there for almost 10 years now, 8 years. So no, definitely. Yeah. So, but it was a bold step into the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So here we are. We're speaking to a lot of agents and we're very hopeful for the future. And there's been obviously some difficulties this year, the war in Iran and Americans not wanting to travel as much. And, I know in the safari industry, the American bookings is down fairly significantly, and a lot of lodges and a lot of operators. So we felt a little bit of the pinch this year,
it would happen on the year that we have this grand unveiling of a new sort of brand, right?
Yeah, and a new lease.
But resilience, it's...
Yeah, so we, I'm not too perturbed. I think and you and the team have put in a great amount of effort, and a lot of people listening have gone to the Inkashree website and seen what a magnificent website it is. And if any of you that haven't been there, please go to Inkashree.
InkashreeSafariCamp.com.
I'm going to have a look what Luke has put together. It's really magnificent.
Thank you, China.
So we primed for a big uptick in sales from the agents that are now going to start promoting us. I think we're up to 120 agents,
whatever. Or so.
Yeah.
So it's quite a new. It's an interesting step for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what's really cool is right now as we're talking, the guys are working in camp as he's setting up Inkashree Safari Camp for its inaugural newly, because for people that have been to our camp before and even new listeners, essentially what this winning of the lease has allowed us to do is completely, I don't want to say overhaul the camp, but reimagine the camp is the word that we've used, because the tents are now large 300-foot square feet tents, yeah. En suites.
Yeah.
And our tents beforehand used to be dome tents with an exterior bucket shower. Mm. They were lovely and comfortable and very immersive. Mm. But now we've definitely taken a step up on the luxury side of
absolutely,
things.
Absolutely, yeah.
And yeah, so we're just really, really excited. The whole main area of camp has changed. We've got now two different sides of the camp. Mm. You know, got Little Inkoshui and Inkoshui Main, allowing for exclusivity and flexibility. Yeah. There's two different dining rooms. There's two different lounges.
Yeah.
So I'm excited, but I can't wait to get to camp.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how this new camp. I've seen a lot of photographs of the new tent. So we had a sample tent up last year that Luke went and we put it up, and he took photographs and marketing shots, obviously for the website and to share with potential agents and clients and what have you, potential clients. But this year we've set all the additional night tents, so it's still 10 tents.
Yeah.
These big, massive tents, so the guys are a bit worried they need to get in there earlier. They don't know how
and they've funny enough tents. Got the camp up faster this year.
Faster than they said the tents, the new tents are easier to put up than the old tents.
Well, you know, I've been working with Dixon and Billy, obviously, on the ground, getting content from them and a couple of time lapses of the tent going up.
Yeah.
And the speed at which a group of maybe 6 or 7 or 8 of them can put up one of these new tents is impressive.
Yeah.
It's very quick.
Yeah.
So I know chatting to Dixon, it sounds like things have been a lot easier than he thought they were going to be.
Yes.
And it's quite nice. So hopefully they get a bit of downtime before the season kicks off. Because once the season kicks off, it's madness.
Mayhem.
But anyway, Jonathan, to bring this into land, it's been phenomenal to be a part of the Wild Eye story for my short time.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal to hear the story all the way from the beginning now and to hear more about Inkoshui and Wild Eye Mara Camp and how it started, where it's going, and that you are optimistic and proud and looking forward to the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my dream of having a camp on the banks of the Mara River in the Masai Mara is like, I've got to pinch myself sometimes.
Boom. Blows your mind.
The days of, I was a youngster, a lot younger than I am now, watching National Geographic or whatever, and watching this spectacle of the Great Migration.
You didn't even know it was a dream before it was a dream,
It was absolutely a dream,
Well done to you.
Thanks to you, Luke, and thanks for inviting me to share in this podcast,
to
share my story, and we can do it again.
Next time we'll get you chatting about photography,
So
you can share some secrets.
That's
thanks, Jonah. But it's been wonderful to chat.
Yep,
folks, thanks very much for tuning in. Please go check out inkoshuisafaricamp.com. And if you have any questions, please post them in the comments on whatever platform you're on, and we'll get back to you. Otherwise, get in touch and we can chat. Thanks, Jonah.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.